right. Very good. Even if you made it to announcements or not, and even if it's the last time you make it to announcements, because you don't want to go through that again. All right. Wow, that was fast. How many we have? 14? Okay, that's going to be more than enough. Thank you, gentlemen. Woo, that was fast. All right. Now, the truth is that when the Bible talks about God, oftentimes the Bible scriptures refer to him as our heavenly Father. And that's how we come to know God, especially when we pray. We pray our Heavenly Father, and some people like to make it a little more intimate and call Papa. I heard people pray that way. But the truth is that the Bible also refers many times to God as a mother. And there are characteristics about God that are referred to a mother. Now, I don't want to get into a big conversation about the gender of God, because that is not the point. But the truth is that sometimes we want dad, and sometimes we want mom, don't we? Like, when you're ready to have fun, you really want mom to be there, right? When you want to do something crazy and extreme, you want mother to be there, right? Because she's going to make sure that you have a good time, and she's going to tell you things like, honey, please be careful. Don't you think that's high enough? Honey, please, I think that's too fast already, right? And sometimes you just want mom. Or sometimes when you're hurt and your heart is broken, you just want dad, right? Because you need those comforting words. Stop crying already, right? You just, sometimes we want mom and sometimes we want dad. And the interesting thing is that when the Bible talks about God, yes, it refers to him as our father, but also as a mother. In fact, when Jesus had to think about his relationship, his father's relationship, God's relationship with his people, with his children, with Jerusalem, he described God as, a hen, a mother hen. Not a very fatherly figure, if you ask me. So today, we want to spend a little bit of time talking about motherhood and love divine, what that looks like, what they have in common, and we're going to be doing it a little differently. But before we do that, I want to just do a little disclaimer, because the truth is that since peace in this world was shattered, since evil entered this world and things went astray, this shalom that God had created, this perfect peace has created, nothing has really hit the mark. Nothing is ever really how it should be. And we're always get a taste of what could be, and we miss the mark. So some of us have not been perfect dads or perfect moms. Some of us haven't been given the privilege to even be a mom or a dad. Some of us haven't had a perfect mom or dad. And while most of us, I think, we could get into an argument that my mom is the best mom in the world and your mom is the best mom in the world, for some of us that may not be true. And yet amidst all this imperfection, somehow, a mother's love still shines through. And it still flashes divine love that scattered darkness, even in this world that we live in today. Because it is through mothers that life is brought into this world. It is through mothers that life is shaped, and it is through mothers that we are taught to live and what living looks like. So today, I want to invite you to just take this journey into a mother's heart and how in it we can find love divine. Are you with me? Yes? All right, so let's get started. So let's get some moms up here. You know who you are. Just come up front. Let's sit down. And let's get some kids here, because we're going to talk with kids, with moms, and we're going to do things a little differently. Now, I have saved this last chairs for somebody very special. These are for Michelle, all right? She has a very small child she may need to take care of, so she may need to dismiss herself at any time, all right? There we go. Maverick, you're coming up front. Cool. All right. Everyone's here? All right. Let me see where I sit. All right. So as I look at you, I already see that I made a mistake. Next year, if we do this again, we'll include some grandmas. What do you think about that? Yes? And maybe some of us here next year will be grandmas. Who knows? No? Okay, never mind. All right. So here's what we're going to do. There's many times in scriptures where God is referred to as a mother. And I picked five of those attributes, and they're all here. So I'm going to invite one of the little ones to come and pick one of these papers. We're going to read what the word is, and then we're just going to have conversation about it. Now, when we do that, we could be here till 2 o'clock. So I asked Dan to be our timekeeper. So as soon as the discussion starts, there's going to be 4 minutes on the clock. And once those 4 minutes come to an end, he'll give us a one-minute warning to wrap it up. And that's where you get to decide if you want to talk more about that topic or we land it right there. So you can give us 2 extra minutes or we can go in. That way, if we finish at 1 o'clock, it's not my fault, it's your fault. Is that clear? Are we ready? All right. But before we do all of this, let's pray. Because this is a precious moment. And I think we have a chance today to see, take a peek into God's heart and the way that he loves us. So our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity that we have to spend this time with this moms and children and these precious gifts that you have given us. And as we take a dive today into the depths of a mother's heart and discover love divine, help us to leave here with a deeper appreciation of who you are, of who we are, and those who you have placed in our lives to give us life, to shape our lives, and to teach us how to live. So guide these precious moments. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, let's get started. I'll start right here on my right. Wyatt, you want to take a piece of paper out? Any, just pick one out. All right, and Wyatt has selected protection and care. Protection and care, there we go, protection and care. So let's start with the kids. When was a time when you felt, and we have 2 microphones, where are the 2 microphones? All right, one is here, all right. When was a time where you felt mom's protection more than any other time in your life? Do you remember a story, any of the kids? When you felt mom really, really protecting you, you're like, man, I'm glad mom was around. Any of the kids? Jonah? Well, I think I remember one. Go ahead. And let's have one here then. Sophie, you take care of the okay. Middle part. All right? You remember that time, Jonah?
I got stung by a bee.
I remember that time too. I think actually everybody here remembers that time. And mom, she did something quite heroic, didn't she? Yes. Moms were lucky to have Briggs.
When I was throwing up 15 times in the night.
15 times in the night. Mom needs to explain it, seems.
This was like 2 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
And I will say, that was a very rough night. Oh, he was sick. He was sick, and he had never really thrown up before, and so it was real kind of scary, new experience for him. And yeah. we did it together, right?
Very good. So mom protected you from throwing up another 15 times, it seems, and just getting your hair all dirty. Any other kids remember when a time when mom really, really was there to save you and protect you? Liam.
When I went to the ER.
You went to the ER?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Was mommy your doctor?
No.
Or just your protector? All right. Very good. Children remember these times. Any other kids, a time where mom protected you? So moms, can you think of a time when you really felt like you'd give your life to protect your child? Can you think of a time, and what did you feel? What did you want to do? Melissa? No? Okay. Huh?
I'll start.
Yeah.
Functioning autism.
Mm-hmm.
So he was diagnosed with that when he was age 2. And I have had to have a lot of fights with schools and medical professionals and everything he needed in order to be where he is today.
Wow.
He's been through speech therapy, occupational therapy, through all this tutoring, and he grows every single year.
Wow.
And we really had God's guidance with all of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. So sometimes we try to protect them from dangers and harm, and sometimes we just protect their character and how they can flourish in this world. That's really beautiful. 1 minute, all right. Let's see one more story about protection. Melissa?
I think it's like a constant state of concern. You know what I mean? It is. Because you want to protect them from everything without being that helicopter parent. You know what I mean? Like, you're trying to let them experience life and grow. It's a tightrope walk. You know what I mean? Between being there for them and protecting them, but then also letting them fall on their own and pick themselves back up and stuff. So it's a constant state of uneasiness.
That's really cool. All right. We got our 1 minute warning. So let's begin to wrap it up. I have a couple of texts here, but I have a question. Do you care for a 3 week old, a 3 month old, a 3 year old, a 13 year old, and a 23 year old? Do you protect and care for them the same? So what happens after a child, in a way, goes beyond your protection? Are they do they go beyond your care or beyond your influence? You have a lot more prayer?
Yes, as they get to be older adults and they're not under your constant watch, if you will, you do a lot more praying, I think. Well, you probably pray a lot anyway, but you just, you know, hope that they're making the right decisions and so forth, and but you still never stop. My mom told me when I got pregnant with Adam, she goes, "You'll never stop worrying about them." I'm like, "You couldn't tell me that before."
Yeah. Well, then you wouldn't have gotten pregnant, so. Yeah.
Maybe. No, and what you do is you give them over to God, because you can't protect them anymore, and you can't make decisions. They're going to make some wrong decisions, and you're seeing them make wrong decisions. Mm. You advise them, but they still want to go their own way. Mm. You know they're going to fall. You know that what's going to happen, but. All you do is just praying, God, just keep them in your hand, because you can't do anything else. So it's, like she said, it is truly constant prayer for your children.
So our children, at one point, may be beyond our immediate protection, beyond our watch, but they'll never be beyond our influence, and they'll never be beyond the goodness that we can give them. Let's wrap this up. We're a little bit over, but this is not working. But let's see how this relates to God's care for us. Jesus talked about his father, and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and yet you were not willing." Another one, talking about Israel in the desert, and he says, "He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye, like an eagle that steers up its nest and hovers over its young." I think that's some helicopter parenting, maybe. Its young, that spreads its wings and catches them and carries them aloft. The Lord alone led him. No foreign God was with him. In Psalms 22, 9 to 10, it says, "God, concerned for his people, like a midwife cares for the child she's delivered." In Hosea, it talks about God experienced the anger of a mama bear, of a mother bear who's been robbed of her cubs. And in God's love and protection of us, I think it's just like this mother shared. At sometimes, God is just protecting us, and he's, you know, watching us, and it's like Christy with that EpiPen. He wants to do anything to protect us, and at some point, he needs to let us grow. And it's like the hand said, "I wish I could have kept you up under my wings, but at some point, I have to let you grow, and sometimes I see you making mistakes. And my heart breaks, and I never stop caring for you. And yet my protection takes a different shape." Because God's in God's heart, he loves us and protects us like a mother. All right? Let's do another one. Should we do another one? All right. Liam, you want to do one? Sure? All right. Ooh, comfort and peace. Do we start with the moms or with the kids on this one? Let's start with the moms. In parenting, you experience a lot of discomfort, don't you? Sleepless nights, pains of all kinds and shapes. What brings comfort to your heart as a mother caring for their children? Ashley? Sophie, share the microphone.
Sorry, I didn't. With me, it was finding a mom friend. When Boston was little, he was, you know, would get really fussy, and we would go for several stroller walks a day just to get out of the house. And my neighbor was doing the same thing.
Okay.
And so we would meet up several times and just walk and talk about motherhood and how hard it was, and we just kind of bonded over it, and it really was like a godsend for me at that time.
So God used somebody else to bring comfort to your life in those difficult moments. Very good. Somebody had their hand over there? No? Okay. Cindy?
Kind of like what Ashley said, that having the support there, like, support? You know, with your spouse,
okay,
or your family, or really good friends. Because it's hard, even if you don't have kids, I think you know how hard it is to raise children,
mm-hmm,
that having that support there from just like especially your spouse, or like I said, family members and really good friends, that that's what kind of gives me comfort anyway, in knowing that I'm not doing it alone.
Very good. Somebody else, how do you feel comfort in this thing called motherhood?
I think we all can relate that it does take a village to raise your kids, right? So I am blessed to have a very hands-on partner, my husband.
Very good.
Actually, everyone here who has impacted and influenced my kids, I like teaching them in Sabbath school, VBS, and even just greeting them at the door. I think they've kind of helped in some way to make every day a little better for us.
Very good. Kids, can you think of a time where you were hurting or you were sad or something was heavy on your heart and mom gave you comfort? Noah.
When I sprained my ankle.
When you sprained your ankle. And how did mom comfort you?
She fixed it. She put a cast on it.
She put a cast on it? I didn't know mom knew how to do that. Look at mom. All right. Briggs, you got something? Say what? 1 minute? All right, 1 minute warning.
When every Friday I get to sleep in her bed.
Oh, sleeping with mom? All right, I wonder if that brings mom comfort or something else, though. All right, very good. Somebody else, one more child, a time where you were hurt and or you weren't having a good day and mom gave you comfort? Very good. All right. Moms, can you share something specific that you do to give comfort to your children? Or sometime that you just said, I do anything to just make them feel okay. Ever had that experience?
I've had that experience with Wyatt. He had to have dental surgery. Mm. And it was really hard explaining to him what was going to happen. And normally they don't let the parents go in when they put them under for general anesthesia, but I told them, I'm like, hey, I'm a nurse practitioner, he has autism, I really don't want him to be alone. Mm. And it was so hard for me to do this because he totally panicked when they put the mask over his face.
Mm.
But I just looked him straight in the eye and I said, it's gonna be okay, you will be fine. Mm. Then he was out and it was done. And it was so traumatic for me, and I prayed the entire time, and my mom was with me, mm-hmm, but he don't remember anything.
But that's actually really beautiful, and we had our 1 minute warning. But Isaiah 66:13 says, as one who his mother comforts, I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. One of the things that you all shared in common is that comforting, it wasn't necessarily something that you did. It wasn't a set of action. It was more about being there or somebody being there for you. As a mom, knowing that somebody else is going through what you're going through, as a mother, you're maybe not be putting the child, but to the child, because you're there, it's like you're the one who's putting the cast, or like just being in that room. I'm a nurse. I know what I'm doing. Just let me be there. And sometimes the best comfort we give is our presence. And sometimes that's the comfort that God offers us. Hey, you're going through some things with our heart. Job was suffering and he was hurting. And God simply says, I'm here. I'm here with you. And I know what you're going through is hard, and I wish I could take your pain, but here's the promise that I can give you. You're not alone. I'm here with you. All right, I think that was beautiful. We do a couple more? Yes? All right. Briggs, you look like you want to take one. Are you ready? All right. Anyone? You guys pick all from the top. All right. So what do we have?
Honor.
Wisdom, wisdom and honor. That is a good one. So, Briggs, you're a very smart kid. Let's put you on the spot. What's the wisest thing that your mother has ever taught you? That's a hard question, isn't it?
There's so many.
How do I pick one from all of this? All right. It's okay. Any of the kids, can you remember one thing your mom taught you that you think, man, that was so genius, that was so wise, that was so smart? You can think of something, Liam? No? The best advice mom gave you? All right. Let's start with our moms then in the role of daughters. What's the best advice your mom gave you? Cindy, you got advice from your mom, but it was a bit discouraging, right? This is never going to stop. moms in the roles of daughters. What's the wisest thing you got from your mom?
I gave my daughter, told my daughter not to marry a Hispanic man.
Did she listen?
I thought that was very wise since I come from a Hispanic home and there are a lot of men in my family. So I was telling her to stay away. No, she didn't. But it was she always dated, white American guys. And then the one guy that she met that was Hispanic, she actually married him. He's actually a very good guy. The reason he's a good guy is because he was raised here in the States. I'm kidding.
All right. Okay. Where do I start? No, I won't.
I'm telling you, that is wisdom right there.
Can we turn off microphone number 2, please? Thank you. All right. Did you pass on the chancla advice too? No? Okay. All right.
Hey, my mom also told her the same thing, told me the same thing. So.
I heard good advice about people to marry. Marry who's compatible with you and marry who you can love. And hopefully has no color, shapes, or forms. We can find someone that is compatible and someone we can love, and we'll be happy. Good advice, Sophie. I'll think about it. Yeah. Cindy, you may need a second chance because you already married me and you're stuck with me, but anyways. All right, somebody else. Good advice you got from your mother.
Well, so I'll just say my mom told me she will always be there, and she has always been there anytime I've needed her, and certainly that's something that I give to my children as well, and I hope that they take away is just that I am always, always, always there and will love them no matter what.
Okay.
I don't care what. All right. I will love you, right?
All right. Very good. Moms, if there's one thing you would like your child to know, one piece of wisdom that you could give them, what would it be? And that's our 1-minute warning.
I think for me, and I've always told my daughter this, both David and I, that put God first. Mm-hmm. Put God first in your life. Everything else will come out. If it's not wrong, be there to protect. So the number one thing was always us putting God first. The man you're going to marry, make sure he's put God first. Okay. That's what was taught to me. We've passed that down to her. Now, do they listen? Do we ever listen?
All right, let's mute the mic again. All right. Christy, you had something?
I'm going to say the same thing. Go to Jesus first for everything. Mm. Go there first, always.
Always. Very good.
Without hesitation.
And if you do follow Jesus, then follow your instinct, because I might tell like my kids something but maybe their instinct is telling them something different. So don't always listen to mom or dad. Talk to us about it, but you've got to follow your heart.
Follow your heart. Very good. Proverbs 31:25. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, but do not forsake your mother's teaching. I wonder what's the difference between instruction and teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. I just bumped into this week. You all know the story of Solomon, right? Solomon who prayed for wisdom. When Chronicles tells the story, it tells that Solomon asked God to give him wisdom. But if you read that story in the book of the Kings, you hear that Solomon's request was actually a little different. He said, give me a hearing heart. Give me a listening heart, a heart that is able to listen. And I think a mother wisdom comes also from her ability sometimes not to say so much, but to hear, to truly listen, to have a listening heart, a heart that has the ability to feel, to listen. Because then when you do that, you can truly speak wisdom. And I'm so thankful for my mother's wisdom. I often go to my dad for practical advice, but when I needed something deeper, I often go to my mom because she had some of that wisdom. All right, I know that minute is up. Let's do, we have two more actually. Noah?
Joy and love.
Joy and love. Okay, good. I like that one. All right. Should we start with the kids or with the moms? All right. With moms? Okay. Noah picked moms. All right. Oh, you had to change the battery? No, no, no. Don't change it, Jared. It's fine. All right. Mothers. Children bring many things to our lives. They sometimes empty our wallets. They take away our sleep. They take away our freedoms. And I was reading an article recently that asked couples when was the happiest, the most difficult time in their marriage. And they said that when they were raising children. That was the hardest time in their entire lives. And when they asked them what was the happiest time in their lives, they said when they were raising children. Because isn't that the experience? It is so hard and at the same time so joyful. So, what brings joy to your life when it comes to your children?
Okay. Many years ago, my husband and I took a parenting class. It's called Proverbs for Parenting. It was really good. And one thing that kind of stuck out in my mind from that was that we parent the way we see our parents parent. That's what we have to go by. And that we're dealing with things now that our parents never had to deal with, like social media, internet, you know, kids with cell phones. And our kids are going to have to deal with things that we're not dealing with right now. So one of the things that I try to take away from that is the experience that I got from my parents, that if I could piggyback off that to make our children, you know, you want them to have a happy life. You want them to be, you know, productive adults. And ultimately, the joy is having them grow up to be, you know, taking your advice, your wisdom, and so forth, and applying it to their lives. And so you just want parents that we just want to see our children happy. And that gives us joy to see them happy, to see them succeed.
Succeed and succeed. Another word, to see them flourishing. Flourishing, all right. Somebody else, what brings joy to your motherhood?
Well, for me, my son's two, but he's just now starting to give like affection spontaneously. And so the other day I was like just cleaning the house, moving around, and he comes up and he just hugs my legs. And I came home from work the other day and my husband was already home with them. And he said, "Mommy's home. I'm happy."
So what was it before?
But that just, you know, it's starting to see that in my son. It just is everything. So.
Their affection, their love and affection. Very good.
I think one of the things that brings David and I both a lot of joy is to have pictures from our kids, from Stephanie. I call Jay our kid too, but like they're at church. Like Stephanie sent me a picture of him teaching cradle roll. You know, and they don't have kids. And then, you know, another picture of David sent me when she was over there of them both, you know, he's playing the piano, she's singing at church. You know, that stuff that they're involved and they're doing, you know, they're in the right place. Where you guided them, you know, that brings peace, brings joy for a parent.
Very good.
I'd say for me, oh my goodness, so much of it brings joy. I actually did not want children growing up, and we waited 10 years into our marriage before we had kids. And what has brought me so much joy is just how much I love it. And it has gotten better and better the older they get. It amazes me that each step along the way is more rewarding and exciting than the last. And the other thing that is incredible incredibly joyful is watching the love between the two of them. Mm. I cannot get enough of that. And that they genuinely love and care for each other just makes my heart so happy.
Wow. Wow, so much depth there. We had our 1 minute warning. I think we can give it 2 more minutes. We only have one left. Is that okay with everyone? Because I saw Briggs' hands up, and I want to hear from Briggs.
When mom gave me dirt.
When mom gave you dirt? Dirt brings you joy? Okay. Dirt is what makes things come to fruition, flourishing, so I guess that makes sense. All right.
It's crushed up Oreos with chocolate pudding and gummy worms.
And a mom would know that that would give you joy, wouldn't she? And they would give her grief after you get that sugar high.
What else was in it?
All right.
Oreos and pudding, that's about it. Oh, gummy worms. Chocolate rocks.
All right. Joy. Joy in all its forms.
What he asked for. That's probably why it brought him joy.
Very good. Michelle, you had something?
I was going to say just kind of along the lines of what Cindy said, but seeing your child thrive in whatever stage they are. So when they're little, you know, just that they're, you know, growing and developing and having fun, you know, in life and the joy in that each day. And then, like, you know, at Noah's stage, you know, starting to learn to read and write and, you know, kind of thriving in first grade. And then at Christopher's stage, you know, or whatever they're interested in, that brings me the greatest joy.
Amen. All right. Kids, we only have one more left, but this one is so important, I think. Do you think of a time when you really felt mom's love and it meant for you a whole lot? Can you think of a time and say, wow, mom loves me so, so much? Can you think of a time when you felt that? When was it? What made you feel that way? You got one? No, or you just got the microphone? All right. We have a very, very quiet kids. You should go to a Sabbath school. You would see how quiet they are. They'd blow your mind. But I love what we shared. Luke 2:51, Mary was thinking about the news that she got. And she said, the mother treasured up all the things in her heart. This is not really talking about moms. It's talking about a father who has very motherly love. And he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. The Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the afflicted with one salvation. Look into Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Mothers, I know for a fact that you're willing to endure so much for your children. You give up so many things, and yet I know you do it with joy, because there's something in seeing those children flourishing that brings joy to your lives. And I think that's what God feels when he looks at us. There's a verse in Malachi. I think I'm not going to say the number because I'm going to get it wrong. But it says that it paints this picture of God listening to what their children are saying and writing them in a book with a smile, because his children were talking about his love. And I love what, I think it was Christy that you said, we love when we see them flourishing, but also when they love each other, when we treat each other. And sometimes I think Cindy and I just have fun standing by the door and listening to the conversations of our children. And there's something about what they say, and when they just say things sometimes that stir our hearts. I think that's the same way that many times God loves us. When we love each other, when we say good things to each other, God's heart just swells with joy in us, because he finds joy in us like a mother finds joy in their children. Okay? Last one. Who wants to take the last one? Surprise, surprise, what it would be. Did you take one already, Briggs? Yes? Does somebody else want to take one? No? Okay. Then Briggs, the world is of the hungry. All right.
Closeness and
intimacy. All right. Closeness and intimacy. That's a good one. kids, can you, I think Briggs, you shared something, mom letting you sleep in, you feel so close to mom. Kids, can you think of time where you felt really close to mom and you were so happy she was there with you, and you could have been with anybody else in the world, but you want to be with mom in that moment. Can you think of a time, maybe like a thunderstorm or something like that? Briggs, you have something in mind? You're raising your hand. Yeah, what's up?
During the hurricane.
Ooh. Okay. Why did you want to be with mom?
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
I forgot what it was called.
Because it was so cold?
No.
He said he forgot what it was called. He's trying to think of the name of the hurricane.
Oh, the name of the hurricane. All right.
Irene.
Irene? Yeah, let's name her Irene. That sounds good. All right. Noah, you have one?
When it was the flood, I was freaking out, and Chris, he was freaking out even more.
Christopher was not freaking out. I know he wouldn't be freaking out. Of course not.
He was screaming.
Yeah, you're not turning red, Christopher. We cannot tell. Don't worry.
And when I went downstairs, my family comforted because everybody was down there.
Okay. So it was a plan. Why did you want to be close to mom? Maybe you felt safe?
Yeah, sure.
All right, sure. All right, gotta help a little bit. All right, moms, when have you felt closest to your children? When did you feel like a deep sense of intimacy that you had something special with them? Melissa?
I think having an adult child, because they're adult, you're an adult, you can speak about certain things, and you're not having to train anymore. And I have felt really close as a friend, as opposed to a mother and a daughter, which
really
was really,
cool.
Really nice and different, you know, to have your daughter, but then have a friend with her as well.
So you're close in a different way. Like when they're babies, you're very close physically, maybe. But when they grow up, maybe you're more apart physically, but closer in the heart.
Intimate in the subject that we're talking about, or, you know, yeah.
That's really cool.
I don't know how to explain that, but yeah.
That's really cool.
You wouldn't give me
30 seconds, all right?
I was thinking about this question, and it's kind of, I notice it more like in the mundane stuff. You know, like you go through, you try to make these events for your kids. You try to, you know, do things with them that are really fun and that they'll remember, make these memories and stuff. But the times I feel the closest to my kids, they sort of happen randomly when you're just like, Briggs is helping me play Zelda. You know what I mean? And we're like sitting there and we're doing something together. And then you'll have these like random conversations that just kind of come out of nowhere. And it ends up being a very intimate and close experience with your kid, and you never were expecting it. It's very surprising.
Yeah.
So it's like, I feel like it's like the joy, the intimacy, the closeness, the peace. Like, to me, I notice them more like with the mundane stuff. Beckett helping me make food, you know, he wants to help, or Briggs making me a Mother's Day advent calendar all of a sudden, just coming up with it and showing it to me. You know, these little things that just sort of happen out of nowhere that make you feel very close with your kids.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
And I'm kind of going to piggyback on that, but I find there's so much closeness in those everyday things, the bedtime prayers and putting them to bed. You get great little conversations then. And in the last probably 4 or 5 months, Jonah has started this thing. He comes and gets in bed every Sabbath morning, and he wraps his arms around me, and he just says, "Good morning, Mommy. Happy Sabbath." And I'm like, I don't know how it could feel any more close than that. But those times that happen every day, well, not the Sabbath one, but those prayer times and, you know.
But Jonah, it's Sunday.
Those times are wonderful, and they make me feel very close and connected to the kids.
All right.
same here. Liam sets his alarm half an hour before everyone else because he doesn't want to have that extra snuggle time. And then he goes to our room and have that extra snuggle time. That's special, but just between the two of us. I think that's pretty.
Oh, wow. Liam, you're going to be a successful man, it seems. An early riser. Good
yes.
for you.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to snuggle with mom every chance you get until you get there.
But yeah, that's how he is an early riser, and he gets everyone. It's surprising. He there was a switch sometime earlier this year. He was overwhelmed with school, I think, and he said, everyone's going to wake up an hour earlier. And
oh, my goodness.
I know, and I was like kind of rolling my eyes. I'm like, really? It's like a pain to wake you up in the morning. But then he... He surprised us and he just woke up, just did his brush his teeth, and he
ready to go.
Yeah, ready to go. It's such a big switch, and it solved the school anxiety, much to my younger son's disappointment of how the clock moved, daylight savings time.
Yeah, other son or mom and dad's disappointment? I think it would be more mom and dad, but that's okay. We'll blame the others. All right, closeness and intimacy. That's beautiful. Anyone else?
I think the closest I was with Wyatt was nursing him, because I nursed him for a while when he was a baby. And to get the nursing to stop, because it lasted 2 years, it was a long time. To get it to stop, we snuggled, and that snuggling has continued. That's a routine we have every night before bed. We have 2 minutes of snuggling, so that's how we stay close.
Very good, very good. All right. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will never forget you, says the Lord. The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. It is so beautiful, everything that you've shared, because from nourishing, from feeding our children to the mundane little things, to that process that Sophie described, how even as you age, maybe you don't snuggle anymore, because it would be somewhat awkward. Maybe not. No, it's still beautiful, but, you know, it changes. Maybe the shapes of the beds won't allow and the bodies and all that. But things change, and yet we can grow in intimacy. Even as the seasons of parenting and motherhood change, the intimacy can grow. And I think that's what God wants to experience with us. As we mature, as we come to know him better, as we understand his love better, from the times that God had to sustain us and nourish us, from the very basic things to the times where we actually get to understand what he's doing and our heart connects with him, God is always looking for deeper intimacy with us. And that's a promise, that's a progress that will never end. Each and every day we have a chance to grow in intimacy with God, and also with our moms, and also with our children. Was that fun? Yeah, it was a little different, something fun. And I hope we all had a chance to get a deeper understanding through these little vignettes, these little stories of our experience, of how God loves us, how he protects us, how he comforts us, how he brings joy to our lives, how he has closeness and peace for us. So here's what I want to do to end, all right? Because, yes, it is 12:24, we're going to end. I want us to end with prayer, a special prayer. One of the things that I think it's so important is that if you look even in scriptures, you find that no mother was ever perfect. Some of the mothers that are most well known, Sarah lied to God. Rebecca messed up her entire family. And I think God was infinitely wise in having Jesus been born about 2,000 years ago. Because had Jesus been born today, Jesus would have probably been raised by child services, because a mother that forgets her children for 3 days, that wouldn't fly well in our day and age, right? Jesus would have probably not been raised by mom. And yet, in all of those stories, things turned out actually well enough. Moms, we salute you. We thank you. You have given us life. You have shaped our lives, and you have taught us how to live. And even though you may not get everything perfect, if you at least get two things right, if you love your children and you love God with all your heart, and if you pray with them with all your heart, I think things will always turn out well enough. Because even when we make mistakes, even when we forget our children 3 days somewhere, if we love them with all our heart and we love God with all our heart and we pray with all our hearts, God will make it all right. And that we can trust him with the most precious gift he has ever given us. One of the things that I appreciate so much about Cindy, it's something that I appreciate so much, and it also drives me nuts. Because each night I'm ready to go to sleep, I'm in bed, and Cindy has all her evening rituals about face washing, dental care, and hygiene, like very thorough. I'm not going to compare her routine with mine's. Mine takes about 30 seconds. Hers takes a little longer. But then the last thing she does is she goes into each of our children's bedroom, and she spends sometimes 10 minutes, sometimes 20 minutes, just praying by their bedside while they sleep. Mothers, pray for your children. Love them with all your hearts. And then everything else, he'll take care of it. You'll know what to do. You'll make mistakes. He'll cover them. But love your children with all your heart, and pray for them with all your heart. And thank God for the gift of children. So here's what I want to do. I want to invite all the kids in our congregation, to come up front and gather right here in the middle. Okay, all the kids. This is going to be a little messy. This is going to be a little awkward, maybe a little different. It's okay. I want to invite all the kids to come up front right here in the middle. If they're too young and they can't, that's okay. But all the kids to come right here in the middle, right here, right here, right here. You too, bud. Come on. It's all right. All right? You can come with mom. All right? Because then I'm going to invite all the moms to surround the children. So all the moms can start coming and stand around the kids. So all the kids are in the middle. All the moms around. All right? All the kids in the middle. All the moms around the kids. Come on. Come on. Annabella, you want to come up front? It's okay. You can come with dad. And then I'm going to invite everybody else. Everybody who's not in the circle right now, to come and place your hand on somebody. And I want everybody to touch somebody else. Because one of the things that we shared is that we find comfort in being in this together. Moms, you're not alone. And I hope we can be the type of church that's here with you, moms, as you go on this journey in taking care of these children. So I want to invite everybody in the congregation to come up front, and just, if you're comfortable, if you don't want to, it's okay, but everybody, to just put your hand on somebody else, because I want us to have a moment to pray for the children of this church, and I want us to have a moment to pray for the mothers of our church. So everybody who would feel comfortable, just come around and put your hand on somebody else. Put your hand on a mom, put your hands on children. Let's get a little closer and bring a little more room. And then I'll ask Linda to do a prayer for our children. She's the only elder in our church who has experienced motherhood. I haven't experienced it, so I thought she'd be a little more, she'd have a little more authority to pray on this subject matter than I do. One of the microphones that was there. All right. Okay. And I want us to have a prayer for our children, and then I'll do a prayer for our moms, and then we'll sing our closing song.
Lord, as we bow our heads, we are so thankful for these little children. These children that, quite frankly, teach us more lessons than maybe we've even known before, Lord. And they show us your love in a way. I know when you were here on earth, Lord, you loved little children, and you said, let them come to me. With the little ones, Lord, we pray that you open their hearts, show them your love through the moms here, Lord, and the dads too. But the moms are the ones they go to for safety. And we're thankful for them, and we just pray a special blessing that they grow up to know who you are throughout their years. Amen.
Amen. And our Heavenly Father, I pray for our moms. They have been entrusted the most precious gift this world has to give, the most precious gift you have to give, and that is life. It's on their hands to give it, to shape it, and to teach us how to live. And that's an overwhelming task. And yet, you will make it not a burden, but a joy to them. So I pray that you will give them the wisdom, that you will give them the strength, that you will give them the courage, that you will give them the ability to sometimes forgive themselves, because sometimes we're the hardest people on ourselves. And that you will teach them to understand that love covers a multitude of sins. Even the mistakes that we've made, if we can love our children with all our hearts, if we can love you with all of our hearts, and if we can pray for our children with all of our hearts, you will teach us what to do. And even if we don't follow that wisdom, like Sophie said, if we love you with all our hearts, you will get us there, and you will make our ways right. So I pray for these moms. I thank you for the treasure that they are, and I leave them in your hands. And I thank you for using them to teach us how you love us. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.
I know you just got back to your seat, but if you'll stand with us as we sing, what a beautiful, beautiful name it is. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. You're hidden. Now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is.
she was just a couple weeks old. She came and prayed with me here for the first time. And here she is doing that 3 years later. Father, you said, could a mother forget their nursing child? Even if they could, I would never forget you. Some of us may have had the blessing of having a perfect mother, and I am so thankful for that. Some of us maybe never got that privilege. And you said, even if she were to fail you, I will never fail you. You will never be alone. You will never be unprotected. I will always be close. I will always love you and bring joy to your life if you let me. We will always grow in intimacy. Even if your father and your mother leave you, I would never leave you. But that's also such a good promise for moms and for dads alike. Because even if we fail and we mess up, you never will. So I thank you for being that type of loving father, and in a strange way, mother too. May you teach us how to be loved and how to love more each day. And may that bring the joy and the peace and the purpose and the responsibility to our hearts that we need to honor you in everything that we do. So our days on this earth will be long, and our days in eternity will be longer still. So thank you for being that type of father, mother. In Jesus' name I pray.